This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes post-match phone-in on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
Well, good evening, everybody. Yeah, so the second consecutive 0-0 feels a bit better than the last one, I'll be honest with you. I know some people will look at tonight's game and say, well, where was our quality in possession and where was our ambition? Especially obviously when we win a corner with about 30 seconds to go and they go, no, we're going to keep it in the corner. I look at that and think, no, we came and got what we came for, seemingly there. Yep, there was maybe no or little attacking threat apart from a good effort from young Aspria at one point. But other than that, it was a game of attrition. It was a game of determination. It was a game of organisation and trying to make sure that we came away from a team who was going to go top, as it is anyway. They've gone second, even with the draw. And to be quite frank, I think we would probably be very pleased with that. If we look at that and go, well, we should have more ambition than that. And I don't think that's an unreasonable thing to say, that, you know, a football team should look to go away and try to win the game. I've got an awful lot of time for people with that argument. I agree. But I think if you look at the team and the squad going there, it's an interesting game, and it does show up some of the areas that are lacking, shall we say, in the Watford squad, but all fair play to them. Let me know who your man of the match was. I think the lad Hutchinson, Amari Hutchinson, looks a lot of fun and was the kind of wide player who gives you some penetration, the kind of player that we haven't had since Ken Sem has been regularly injured a little bit. But hey, enough about me already. You let me know what you think on the game, because, hey, it was there for everybody to see, 0-0. But I think it was I'm coming away from with that with a kind of a punching the air 0-0 rather than the Preston game where I was punching my chair or any available wall through a lack of entertainment. Maybe it is when the opposition have that much possession, but you are basically fighting tooth and nail in the box to try to win those headers and make sure it gets away. Felt different to me, but let me know what you think about that particular game and what it means for Tom Cleverley. It's his third clean sheet in 5 games. Yes, he's only got 1 win and 4 draws. That could be looked at. But I do still think we have to remind ourselves that prior to him coming in against Birmingham, we were all looking at this run of games and saying, and I said it, so other people may have done, you may have disagreed. Do let us know if that's the case. I couldn't see where the point was coming from, and it meant the Birmingham game was very, very important. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think. As always, welcome to Do Not Scratch Your Eyes post-match phone-in. Let's get across to Martin from Yellow Brick Road Boys and see what Martin has to say about that. Martin, how are you doing?
Evening, Pete, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. As I say, I was punching the air rather than punching the wall, so that was nice. But what did you make of it all?
I literally near enough jumped off my sofa thinking Kayembe is going to score that beauty of a shot he had just in the last minute. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. The yes, I think we'll put it down as a speculative clearance, but yes, it was rather exciting at one point, and it lost the red button cameraman, didn't it, for a minute?
If that was Wesley who, that would have been a goal.
Absolutely. Anyway, what did you think about the game overall? And what do you think about Ipswich and Tom so far?
I'm very happy with Tom. I think he's doing a hell of a job with the squad he's got and the teams we've been playing. Who would have thought we'd pick up a point at Ipswich tonight? Not many of us did. And you got to stand up and clap for him because what he's doing, and hopefully get a result at Southampton as well, because we're meeting all these big sides in the top 10 and it might not be a win, but it's a point and we're moving up the table slightly each time. So he's doing a job what he can do. And our defence is looking amazing. And I said on MySpace, why is Pollock not playing? And tonight he plays and look, another clean sheet. What a game our backline had tonight.
I think he's, you know, the one area where he's been able to rotate players has been at the back. He can't rotate the right back. He doesn't rotate Jamal Lewis. We'll get onto him in a minute and see what everybody thought. But like everybody else, he got a foot in the way of a few things. I think the midfield seemed to not be able to retain the ball for anything tonight.
No.
But the moment we gave it away, we were blocking off channels and shutting down players and trying to win the second and sometimes even the third ball, because we weren't winning the first one, but no. The second and the third we were trying to go for. So,
I completely understand why there'd be a lot of fans out there frustrated, obviously, not having a lot of possession, giving the ball away a lot. But Ipswich are one of the best sides in the Championship, and they've been one of the best teams all season. And it is very frustrating, but it's like, I thought we should lose about 3-0 tonight, but to get a 0-0, especially at Ipswich, who have been unbeaten literally all season, I think the only team that's beaten them at their ground is Leeds. Frustrating, give the ball away a few many times, but I thought we did okay. I'm not going away from it disappointed. Just being on the next game, Southampton away, another tough game. But I'm very happy.
Very good, very good. Who would you make man of the match? Because in that game, more so in the first half than in the second half, Dan Backman kept us in it with some remarkable stops. We went in at halftime, and it might not have felt it, but at the end of the first half, I looked at the possession stats, and they had 65% and we had 35%.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, it was 57-43. It was still obviously in their favour, but we did adjust things. We got a little bit more into that second half until the last 5-10 minutes when it was all kind of defending at the Alamo. But great performances from the back line and also from back man. Who would you give man of the match to?
I'm not giving it to Dan Backman. I'm giving my man of the match to Wesley Hoot tonight. I think he is one of the best players on the pitch. And if it wasn't for him, especially in the first half, they could have been through on goal. So he's my man in the match tonight.
Nicely done, nicely done. Yellow Brick Road boys, what are you doing this week? Obviously, you normally kind of hone in on obviously Monday, which you did. Are you going to be doing anything to follow up this, or are we looking?
So we'll be back on Monday. If any of you are on Twitter, go check out our Twitter page either later tonight or tomorrow, because Freddie's doing a vlog of today at Ipswich. So go have a look at that. And then we'll be back on Monday at 7 p.m.
There you go, Yellow Brick Road Boys. As you know, Martin has come up with a title that I can barely pronounce. Let's face it, isn't very difficult, but even so, there we go. Martin,
well, good to hear from you, Pete, mate, and speak to you on Saturday, mate.
Will do, mate. You take care. Right, super stuff. So there's Martin already looking forward to the next game. Now, if you are driving back from Ipswich and you're listening to us on there, you can also at the same time see if you can download the Southampton preview. It is now out. We put it out during this game where we spoke to Fraser from Southampton FC News. And there's reason in there to be, if not cheerful, at least optimistic that we might be able to carry on this kind of unbeaten run under Tom, perhaps. Who knows? We will see what happens. Most importantly, though, let's get across to Mr. Alan Lathwell, who I imagine this evening is nowhere near the Daventry area, which is very reassuring for the both of us. Alan, sir, how are you doing?
Well, I'm all right. I am in Leicester, but I was kind of tempted to drive south to Daventry.
Yeah, just to keep this roll going. Absolutely.
Yeah, just to keep this roll going. Then as soon as I've spoken to you, driving back again.
I think it's been pivotal in Tom's clean sheets so far, but that's fine.
Yeah, it's been great for our change of fortunes. I've had, since full-time whistle, I've had 4 messages from Leicester fans thanking me for the point at Ipswich. I mean, I had nothing to do with it, but there you go.
And I mean, you weren't even in Daventry, so I mean, very little effort made on your part.
Yeah, and Leicester fans saying, oh, it's a great result for them. They all got exactly the same response from me, which was that the result and the consequences for Leicester is absolutely of no concern to me. in fairness, I thought... it was actually quite enjoyable to watch, wasn't it, for 0-0, where, you know, we didn't have a great amount of possession in the game. But I do actually think our issue, you touched on it in your comments there with Martin regarding the midfield not retaining the ball. I think the issue there was not so much that they weren't capable of retaining the ball, but they fell into that trap of because the focus for the team was more defensive than offensive. When they did get the ball, I think they were trying to rush to get it forward too much. And what they really needed to do was just look after the ball, keep possession, string some passes together, rather than try and convert from defence into attack. I think if we had taken a bit more care with the ball, we might have actually created one or two chances more in the game. But, that's kind of nitpicking. It's difficult because when you're starved of the ball for so much of the game, it's understandable that you become a little bit less careful in possession, I think. So, but that's, really kind of nitpicking. I think if you'd said we were going to get a point before the game, I think we would have all taken that. And actually, it's a couple of observations. One, in the end, they only had one more shot on target than we did. Mm-hmm. And in reality, in actual fact, unless I'm mistaken, I'm trying to think, I can't recall a shot on target from them in the second half. So I think we started off with a really good structure and we stuck to it pretty well. I felt we got sort of a little bit ragged in the last sort of 10 or 15 minutes of the first half. So the halftime whistle came at a good time for us. Yeah. Tom's obviously got into them to about discipline and keeping your shape, etc. And actually, for all the possession that they had, they really didn't actually create a lot in the second half. And they brought in a number of different, forward options to try and create that opportunity, but did very little with it. So that's a credit to the box of four, if you like. And what I mean by that is that four in the middle of Hoot, Porteous, well, five really, Hoot, Porteous, Pollock, and then Deli Bashiru and Kayembe, in midfield. Those five, from a defensive point of view in the middle of the pitch, were absolutely outstanding tonight. They've put in a lot of work to get that point. And I think another unsung hero from that point of view tonight is for me, Bio, not because of anything that he's done in an offensive sense, because he didn't have the opportunity and there wasn't a lot for him, but my God, he put in a shift and he got back into defensive positions to protect his team throughout the 80 minutes that he was on the pitch. So, yeah, I think it's really, really encouraging over the games that Tom has been in charge. We know we've got shortcomings offensively, but three clean sheets in five now. And, games where we were expected to get fuck all from, we've got draws from. So, there's reasons to be pleased, and that particularly pleased for those supporters that tonight have made the effort to go to Ipswich to see the game. I can see Em's on listening to this tonight and she's driven up from Dunstall. So well done to her. So yeah, it's really, really encouraging, to be fair. A completely different feel to Saturday's 0-0 draw.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. That felt like two teams not turning up to battle. This one felt like one turning up to try to basically storm the citadel and us determined to try to withstand it. And now, as I said, I've got sympathy for people who say, well, we are Watford and we should be going to Ipswich, who were a League One side last year, and give them a go. But I think that misses the sense of momentum, the quality of the coach that they have in place, who is doing what Graham Taylor did with us a couple of times. And we know that level of momentum. And it also, I think it did show that with some of their players, some of the things that you go, well, they're a Championship club, and the lad Hutchison, who they had on loan from Chelsea, I thought he was a live wire. I really did. If it was going to come from anywhere, it was going to be an individual beating an individual, because Tom had us so well collectively organised. And listening on the red button, which if Carl Campion's listening, made me laugh a couple of times when he said, watching on the red button is like being at the back of the stand. And then, and I thought it.
And then he wrote it on a GoPro.
He said it's like watching it like one of those pirate videos where suddenly you're watching it and somebody gets up and moves in front of you. You know.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right with that. I've had my comments before about Red Button.
I think all the
money that gets spent on Sky, I think, Christ, them, you know, and they're proudly telling us they've got 1,000 games next year. Well, get some more fucking cameras then.
Get something with a 30-second relay button so you can show replays, that kind of thing. Would be nice, but not needed tonight, obviously.
You know, a couple of things. I didn't necessarily feel that we weren't trying to win the game tonight. I just think we at times were just a little bit impatient in possession. But some of the players that for Ipswich that are so influential to the way they play, the number five Morsi, is it?
Oh, he's a tremendous player, I think.
Who dictates everything that they do. He was very influential in that first half. Can't remember him second half. Can't remember him at all. So we really got to grips with him. And even though they were bringing in on players like Sarmiento, who came on, I don't think he touched the ball. Yep. The lad that came from Wimbledon that we were interested in.
Al Hamady,
He probably had about their only shot towards the end of the game, the one that was deflected wide. Really, for all the players that they brought onto the pitch, that, you know, they just didn't. We didn't give them the chance to have the influence on the game that they were like. And in the end, the home crowd were actually quite subdued at the end of the game. I think it's credit to the organisation that Tom and his backroom staff have put in, but also to the hard work the team have put in tonight. And that's a really credible point for us.
I think, you look at the four games we have drawn have been against, yes, Preston, we mentioned that, wasn't much fun, I get that, but they're sitting there in eighth. West Brom in fifth, Leeds in third, Ipswich in second. I mean, that gives, you know, at least we were actually suddenly competing as a Championship club against these guys, which before the change to Tom, I don't think we would have seen. I really, really, really do question it. We were on, 45 points when he came in charge? He's got he's got 7 points out of the last five games. 43 points is 22nd place now. I don't think we can underplay the importance of getting those points. Alan, sir, lovely to hear from you as always. Look forward to catching you at some point very, very shortly.
Hi, this is Benjamin Bloom. You're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's get across to Mr. Paul Holly and see what Paul made of this evening. Paul, how are you doing, sir? Are you well?
Yes, I'm very well, Pete. Hope you're well. Hope all your listeners are well. First time I've actually joined since Tom took over, I think. So
in that case, first of all, then you give us your thoughts on Tom's reign per se. If a reign is five games, I don't know. It might be an era.
And that's a perfect intro in, Pete, because that's exactly what I was going to do, a five-game review so far. And look, you know, we had to have a change, and great opportunity for Tom Cleverley. And he's a committed club man. He always gave his best on the field. And so whilst he didn't have the experience in the situation we were in, I fully backed that giving him the opportunity rather than bringing in someone from the outside. And then, you know, you've got to get to know all the players, the club, the system.
Yep.
So I think it was the right thing to do. So Birmingham away, we ground out 1-0. I don't think it was great. Would Val have got that result? Maybe. But it was a great start for Tom getting the 3 points on the board, and it kind of gave a bit of breathing space to making sure we got above the 50-point line.
Yep.
Leeds at home, at half-time, it was like, where's this Watford been for the last 5 years? It was one of the best starts of football we've seen for 5 years. And it was a shame we couldn't hold on and win the game. But Leeds did have quality. And even though their manager cited they were tired, for me, it was a good point against a strong side. But the most encouraging thing was the performance, especially in that first half. West Brom away, probably in Val's reign, we'd have expected to get beat 3-0. Just a shame we couldn't hold on to the 2-0. But again, we probably would have all taken a point before the game, and shows that we can compete in the top half of the table. Saturday, it was like watching paint dry.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were building to this. Go on.
Oh, but one of our biggest challenges all season has been breaking down teams that sit back at Vicarage Road.
Yeah.
And if you think of when we played Ipswich at home, when we played Leicester at home, West Brom at home, Norwich at home, teams that came and played, actually, we didn't do too badly. But teams that just sit back, we've really struggled. And for me, that's one of the biggest challenges we're going to have to solve for next season, as well as the striking position, because goals win you games, goals take pressure off the rest of the team and creating chances, etc. So, you know, that has been testament to our home form. Not the number of goals we've conceded, it's been the ability to break down opposition that sit back. And then tonight, first half, we just looked like we'd gone not to lose. Second half, there were bright glimpses where we could have won the game. And again, I think it's another step in the right direction. So overall, very happy with the start Tom's made. Given the budgetary constraints that we'll probably be under next season, I think if he continues to do well, I'd like to see him be given the opportunity, but in a sensible way, not on a 5-year contract, but something that builds and grows with him to keep him incentivized and hungry, not just, oh, here's 5 years and then people might get a bit complacent. Not suggesting that he would, but clearly some players have. So let's do it organically, progressively, build it on incentives. And, you know, if you get us to this far after this time, then you get it extended by another 6 months or a year. So echoing everyone else's sentiment, a step in the right direction, even though technically the season we can't really achieve anything out of it. But he has restored some pride and their players are playing for each other. I thought the defence, including Backman tonight, were excellent.
So a couple of things here. I like that very much. Thank you, Paul. Lovely stuff. Getting over that. About 3 days ago, Justin put out on the Twitter basically a poll, and it just asked which area of the pitch needs to be strengthened first in the summer transfer window. And inevitably, the a few goalkeeper kind of in the Backman kind of protest thing before tonight. And I've got sympathy with that, because a lot of people who say I disagree with that, but I do think we need to get to the goalkeeper at some stage, because this is the first one. The actual end figures in reverse order were the midfield was 9.3% of people. 9.3% of respondents thought we needed to strengthen the midfield most. 11% said the defensive. Then there was a jump. Goalkeeper, 26.7%, but striker, 52.9%.
Yeah.
You know, more than, you know, really, really kind of twice the nearest number there, which kind of echoes back to your point about we need an ability to be able to break down teams. And I think, we heard Alan talk about how much, Vacuum Bio kind of works and what he's done, and especially when we don't have the ball, etc. But we do also need to have, within however we construct it, we need the ability to try to get the ball to stick and to move us 10 or 15 yards further up the field, which is what we needed from that first half, because we were sat so deep in at one stage. And we did that. We did that kind of successfully in the second half, I thought was interesting. Second point, sir. So, I mean, I completely concur with you on that. And it would appear that so do many of the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes Twitter voters. So good point, well made. I put it to Martin earlier on. What do you think, having seen that game? Backman, I think first half probably takes the man of the match, but the game's not played over one half. Who would you give the man of the match this evening to? Because it was such a solid defensive display and such a fighting kind of display that it genuinely could go to a number of people. So today we're making everybody go, no, don't put it to a number of people. Choose one. Who would you choose, Paul?
That's a really tough question because I think you could argue for Hoots, Porteous, Pollock and Backman. It's probably going to be very unpopular 5,000 miles away. But I actually think for that save he made in the first half from the header, I probably would have given it to Backman tonight.
Everybody, you wondered when somebody was going to say something nice about Daniel Backman. Just note the time. It's 10:15 and it's the 10th of April. Well done, sir.
I think we saw the best of him tonight. So
we did.
When whatever we may think, when he loses a bit of the ego and one thing or another, and I think there's a reasonably good goalkeeper there. But it's all about consistency as goalkeepers. I do think, we do probably need to bring someone else in. But for a championship side, when he's on his game, when he's, not making rash decisions and one thing or another, he's actually a good goalkeeper and he's definitely good enough for the championship. As was proven tonight, against the Ipswich side, which score a lot of goals. But I think there's a piece of thin paper between the whole back, or certainly the three centre halves and the goalkeeper tonight. And just to quickly address your first point, I watched that and I thought, you know what? If you just slotted in one of Kapu or Decore into that midfield and you slotted in somebody like a Marlon King up front, you know, two players of someone who can command and dictate and then let your Espriolas and your Jacks Avances play, but just a big daddy in midfield and somebody with a craft and guile that can create and score a goal on their own and can lead the line. I think, and maybe Marlon King, I'm just trying to think of another example off the top of my head, but then you win that game 1-0.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. It was the archetypal away performance, but without the breakaway goal, which I think may be asking too much tonight. But as you say, with a couple of judicious, shall we say, additions, then it could have well been on. Not so sure about Marlon King, but that's mainly because he's now 46. But other than that, I think I agree with you completely. In his prime, oh yes, please, absolutely.
There we go.
Let's
rejoice. Two clean sheets on the trot. Who'd have thought?
I think we will all have it once more. Paul has asked us all rejoice. Everybody on three. One, two, three. A nil-nil has never been so celebrated. Paul, have a lovely night and have a lovely evening and rest of the week. And we might get to speak to you. Who knows? Maybe after Southampton. There we go. Let's get Rob on. Now, Rob, we were chatting about Racing Club Warwick on Saturday because let's face it, that particular nil-nil was not covered in entertainment. This one, entertainment of a sort, in the same way as a ghost ride might kind of give you scares, but you enjoyed coming out the other side. How are you, Rob? What did you think of tonight?
I'm good, thank you. Defensively, I thought we were brilliant tonight. I thought the back three were absolutely brilliant, and I think that should be our back three. I think they're a cut and above Sierra Alta. I don't think Sierra Alta's anywhere near the level of those three, to be honest. So I thought they were really, really good. We just didn't do much going forward, unfortunately. I don't know what it is with Yasser Asprilio. It's almost like he's trying too hard to possibly impress scouts that might be watching him at the moment. He seems to overplay a lot.
I think he does. I mean, for me, and it'd be really interesting to hear your take on my take on this, is we were defending, and I don't know if you watched it on the red button, but the Sky guys were just basically, they just kept using the words Tom Cleverley, so well organised on rotation for about 90 minutes. But what that meant was we were so compact, which basically meant we weren't very wide, as that three, it stayed close. The defensive midfielders stayed very close in. And the moment we ended up getting the ball, the forwards often had been pulled in and we had literally nobody in any space at all. Now, if you have, and if you are, for example, Pep Guardiola's Barcelona team, they were able to play tiki-taka because they didn't have to expand when they kind of got the ball because their technique was so good. They were able to keep it in short spaces and still be devastating. We don't have, surprise, surprise, Pep Guardiola's Barcelona playing for us, and we don't. And therefore, the ball goes straight out. What we need in that particular instance is the moment that we retain possession, we need people to give us width and we need people to give us, you know, kind of length in order to be able to have some space to keep it. But I just don't think the belief was quite there today. So they kept it tight and thought, no, we'll win it back again and we'll win it back again, maybe. Is that it? Did you sort of read it like that, or did you see it in a different way?
I would agree with you on that one, especially as we you know, that last 30 seconds corner when we decided to hold the ball instead of doing anything with it. Yes. To get the point. But yeah, I can see that. I think it's just, you know, I think we went there and we played really, really well. We worked really, really hard to get that draw. It's been nice to kind of have that little bit more ambition, but I'm with you. But I'm thinking when you were saying that,
yeah,
would Ken Semmer, a left wing back, make a massive difference for this, do you think, in terms of having options on that left side to go past the player?
Wow, this is a good one. I mean, it really kind of, obviously the thoughts on Jamal Lewis are not necessarily very charitable at this given time, bearing in mind his game on Saturday and certainly his first half tonight. I think Ken gives us something different down that side. I'm not sure it would have worked tonight because he's forward thinking, and what we were determined to do was not give them space in behind to kill us and not give them space by going out wide to play through us, if you see what I mean. So in a way, that condensing and that compactness that I mentioned seemed almost to be the game plan of just keep it tight. And if we can pick something up on the break, or if Edo Kayembe can score from 60 yards in the 93rd minute, which he did try, we'll take it. But in the meantime, we'll kind of see what we can get. Let's get back to Espirito, because you're mentioning him. He can be very frustrating, in terms of various things that he does, but I think he's one of those players whereby, and especially in that first half, when we don't have the ball, he's not a great asset. When we don't have him for long periods, and then when you get him on the ball and you've only had the ball for, I don't know, a third or 25% of the last 10 minutes, and he tries something and gives it away, it's frustrating because you want him to just keep the ball and take the kind of sting out of the game at times. But he is one of those, he's a rapier, you know, he's like a broadsword. He's basically just an attacking implement all the time. And that's what he's going to do. And if you do that, you're going to take risks. You are going to give the ball away with a loose pass. You are going to, you know, get tackled on occasions. The bit I really liked about him was in one of our nice periods in the second half, where he was coming kind of into that sort of deep outside the box role and kind of demanding having the ball and giving the ball and getting it and giving it, because he's the one who can do that. I'd love to see him do a little bit more of that.
I think that's it. I think when I was watching the WD18 guys the other night, and they were saying that if you put Espirito into a sort of team of better players, how much he would flourish.
Absolutely. I've called him Phil Foden light, right? Because you can see some of the movements and the position that he plays. You know, he doesn't do it as regularly. He's not as old and he's not as developed. But yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. You put him into a team that he could get and bounce the ball off and retain it, he'll look that much better, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think when people are saying we need to look at strengthening the attack next year, it's like we're going to lose Dennis, I think. So we bring one striker in. Is one new striker enough in terms of quality? Like, do we need to, you know, maybe lose Bio and get two strikers in? That kind of thing. Do we need to get, you know, two more centre backs if we're playing three at the back? I think when people are saying, like, let's bring in a striker for next season, that one striker could get injured, could get out of form, and we're back to square one again.
Yeah, no.
So absolutely. I think we'll be bringing two in. And I think one to look at, and I was impressed with him when we played Plymouth away, was that Ryan Hardy.
Oh boy, are you preaching to the converted there? Absolutely.
I think he's got something about him. I think he could be a top championship striker in the right team. I think one to watch out for.
His movement in when we played them 0-0, his movement was tearing us a new one. Especially in the second half, and even in the first half, his movement was outstanding. But we were kind of, if you remember that, I think Rich WFC2, and a big hello to Rich on the fjords out there in Norway at the moment. He said it was a 0-0 massacre. Take that or leave it. But Ryan Hardy's movement all the time is good, and of course he popped up with a blinder of a left foot strike down at Home Park against us, and he's been he's one that I take that. I think that the joy of having the three at the back means that you can put the extra man in midfield and you can go two up front if you want to, and we've seen that. We have played that 3-4-1-2 or 3-5-2 depending on what you want to call it. So absolutely, it's something to see, isn't it? Absolutely stuff. Right, Rob, sir, lovely stuff. We got people waiting, so I'm going to go across to them, but I'll look forward to chatting to you hopefully after the Southampton game, and or getting updates on Racing Club Warwick. But let's get across to Em, who I believe is coming away from Portman Road. Em, if you hit your... Oh, you've got it there. Em, how are you doing?
Coming away. I'm still stuck in the bloody car park.
Oh.
I know, I'm sitting here staring at this Bobby Robson stand at the minute. But all good.
A fine man and a fine stand, no doubt. Come on then, tell us, how was it in the away end? Did you have fun tonight?
Well, it was pretty shite, to be fair. The atmosphere was good. But you know when you go down like to the bar at half time, you expect it to be, a lot of atmosphere. It was dead as a dodo. There was nothing there.
Ooh,
what? It was really bizarre. Really, really strange.
Is this the effect of it being a school night and nobody wanting and everybody having to drive back about 90 miles?
Yeah, probably. 102 miles, to be fair.
Well,
but, yeah.
I stand corrected. That's all good. Well, it was a defensive display, but it was one of those where, kind of the bloody-mindedness of the team was there to be encouraging, was it not?
Yeah, do you know what? I actually really enjoyed it at times. It was really exhilarating. I thought it was a good team performance. I thought some of the critics about Jamal Lewis is a little bit harsh. I thought he did all right tonight.
Good.
Batman, definitely. Quality. Yeah, I just thought it was a quality team performance. Matty Pollock was solid. Yeah, team performance, definitely. And it was actually a really enjoyable game. Gutted that we didn't get a goal, but it is what it is.
One question. What was because I think when you're at the game, you see things in a different way to how you see it on TV. So I think it's always great that we get to speak to people who've been there. And I think a lot of people probably watching it were surprised that he took Chak Fetadze off, because he seemed to be... this is why this. Had he started to blow, or was it kind of things that we didn't see? What were your thoughts on that?
I just felt like he wasn't really there, to be honest. I felt like he was a bit leggy, a bit tired. I didn't really notice him on the pitch, if I'm totally honest with you. To be fair, I couldn't really see in front of me because I had like five tall men in front of me. But I couldn't really see him. But from what I could see, he was tired. I guess he's still hung over from his Georgia win, but there you go.
Absolutely. He's been celebrating Georgia getting to the World Cup for three weeks straight. You can't expect him to be running around sober.
No, exactly.
Never mind.
But it was a good team performance, and there's nothing more I could say about that, to be fair. But I'm going to have to go in a minute because I need my sat nav, and you're going to keep me company for the way home.
We will keep you company. We've also got, for anybody else who's listening, we've also got the preview of the Southampton game to keep anybody company who is driving the now confirmed 102 miles from Portman Road back to Watford.
Well, that's back to Dunstable anyway. I don't know what it is to Watford.
I've got to ask, whereabouts in Dunstable? Because my grandparents lived in Tottenham. So much so that my brother was run over by a glider at the gliding club. There you go.
My favourite pub is in Tottenham, the Cross Keys. If anyone's go and try it. Banging food, great drinks, great atmosphere. Love it. I'm not anywhere near that. But I am further away from Luton, so it's a good thing.
Well, there you go. If anybody needs more Tottenham advice or indeed safety when it comes to not being run over by gliders, it's me and Em all the way. Em, have a great drive back.
Do
stay with us, and we'll catch you very soon.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.